Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the extra hour is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, we had a wonderful, wonderful first hour. Looking forward to talking to you about Mormonism, Islam, and the Pentagon. Oh, my goodness. Let's find out what God's perspective is. Let's look. We'll give a shout out this morning to Karen Snodgrass. Give a shout out to you this morning. God bless you. We're glad that you're joining us. All of our Facebook listeners, so glad to have you. Oh my goodness, it's amazing how that networks around the world.
Amazing.
If you missed in the first hour, jumping off of a telephone pole or out of a plane, you've got to check it out. First part of the first hour today. Give a shout out to Omarion this morning. Good morning, Omarion. Omarion, you are an excellent swimmer, man. I've heard you're winning the contest, man. I am so proud of you. Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. Was that not a great first hour?
Oh, wow. That's very good.
If you missed it, you got to check it. I mean, we were talking about jumping off of telephone poles, man, the top of telephone poles. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
I guess you got to jump out of a plane next, right?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, wow. Did you hear that? You're a witness. You are a witness. We're going to jump out of planes next. Oh, I'm going to watch. I'll be the one with the camera.
Yeah, you'll be on the ground.
I'll be the one with the camera.
Yeah. Look.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I just want to say, you know, welcome to the extra hour today. You know, grab you a cup of coffee. If you don't drink coffee, you know, grab you a nice glass of water or whatever. And let's just, you know, begin to just have a conversation about what's going on. God's news behind the news. Listen, let me tell you something about the enemy. The enemy is just evil. He is just totally 100% evil, and you cannot negotiate with evil. A lot of people try to negotiate with evil as if it's not going to be evil. You can't negotiate with evil. Evil is just evil, and you have to first recognize that evil exists. And if we don't recognize that, you know, we will go around a lot like I have in the past and be just naive. And naive is not good, because Jesus said, I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves. You'd be as wise as a serpent, but as gentle as a dove. So we have to be wise. We can't be naive. We just can't say, well, they did say Jesus when they got their award. You know, like, come on, mm-hmm. dude. Everybody says Jesus.
Yeah.
We tell time by Jesus. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of a hint, by the way, you know, before Christ and after Christ and during Christ. So that... you know, we need to look at God's perspective of the news, you know, and how did we get here? And it's one thing we have to always remember. And so we can never just take our finger and point it at somebody and say, look at you, because every one of us come from the same batch of clay. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot, in our own righteousness, exalt ourselves and use ourselves as a measuring rod or a measuring stick, because that stick will eventually be used on you. Right. And so with that, you know, we're going to look at God's news behind this and understand, you know, we got to look at what's going on. How did we get here to this particular day? You know, how did we get to the point where the Defense Department yesterday began a systematic outlay at a celebration of, you know, Gay Pride Month? And it's happening all across the country. And what does that mean? Because you look at Israel, you know, Israel has the same kind of military now, the military that we presently have now. After yesterday, Israel has that, mm-hmm. that kind of military. I mean, France and other nations have it. But this is the first for America to be able to for gays to openly serve, and without that being a contradictory type thing. And so the question is, you know, where does this fit in the context of things? Mm-hmm. And it boils down, some of it boils down to, you know, Alan Barton, you know, with Wall Builders talks about, you know, we're Christ, we're a nation that's been founded on God. It was the pilgrims that came over, and that when you read the Constitution, that all of our rights come from the Lord. And with that, you know, the First Amendment right and the Second, Third, Fourth, Fifth, Sixth, all of them, you know, but it talks about in the First Amendment about, you know, honoring and worshiping God. And so when you look at our laws are from the Word of God. And so also in the Word of God, you know, it talks about a lot of different things. And, but the question is, how do we get to this point? I mean, how do we get to the point to where, and it's not that we can't fool ourselves and think, oh my goodness, this just came out of the woodwork. This just didn't happen. But it's been, the church has been walking in different things for so long now. This is just the next progression of things. And if you hadn't got the teaching, the prophetic teaching from VFN TV, you can get it at VFNTV.com. And you don't have to be a subscriber. Go to VFNTV.com and get it. You also can download the app and get it. But the question is America under God's judgment? And it's just a systematic look. You know, it's a lawyer's presentation. You know, let's just look at the evidence. Let's look at what God says. And you determine based on what God does when this happens. But understand this, you know, that judgment, God's judgment is about righteousness, putting things back in its right order. It's not about writing us off. I mean, he's God. He can just take us out.
Yeah.
God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. I don't care where you at, where you presently are at and where, you know, what you may be doing right now that's against the ways of God, that you can stop and cry out to God and say, Lord, I need you. And he will and ask him to forgive you. And he will totally forgive you despite what any religious person says. And then he will empower you in your abiding relationship with him. You can find out about that at iabide.org and, you know, that or a way to abide at iabide.org. And then he will empower you to walk free, you know, of your life of sin, you know, but we cannot just go ahead and just accept sin as normal, but we can say, you know, sin is sin and God can forgive sin. And in the Romans chapter 1, you know, we're told this is the New Testament, by the way. This is very important. So that's Old Covenant. Well, let's look at the New Covenant. Romans chapter 1 says that there's three progressions. There's three steps of turning a people over, a city over, a nation over. And the first step is they failed to acknowledge God.
Mm.
They failed to acknowledge God and to honor God. And they turned to other things as God. And there's one thing that's missing in the church today is honor. You know, honoring God, honoring each other, and one aspect of honor is it. You know, the Word of God says in Malachi chapter 3, "If I'm your father, where's my honor?" And he's talking about the tithes and the offering. If only 4% of the church, and most of that is not even going. Some it's not even going to the church; it's just being given.
Right.
But that we're not even honoring him, and he says because of this, and he transitions. He says God turns you over to something. Now he turns us over to something, not to destroy us, but to destroy our flesh, to get our flesh crying out, get hungry for him. Right.
Right.
And he turns us over to sexual sin. He turns us over to different, to do what ought not to be done or ain't supposed to be doing that. And, it doesn't mean that, you know, it's just not somebody that just sins because you've done something. This is God turning you over to it because we all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. And until we're out of this life, you know, you're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna sin, but this is called being turned over to it. Mm-hmm. And how you know when you're turned over to it or you're held captive by it is when one thing was once called sin and it was something that you actually identified as sin. Now you accept as normal. You accept as normal is that it's just a normal. It's nothing wrong with it. And that's how you know you're held in bondage. I know Bob Jones, you know, talks about the prophet Bob Jones is saying, how you know when you're held in captivity to something is when you accept it as normal.
Right.
You know? And so that first phase of judgment is, I mean, how long has the church been living in adultery? You know, how long has the church been, you know, involved in all this other things how long has the church not been honoring God?
All right.
How long has the church in America been worshiping things rather than the created things rather than God, right?
Right.
Because of that, God turned the church over to that sexual sin. Mm-hmm. The sexual sin didn't cause that. That was a byproduct of failing to honor him.
Right.
So how do you repent from that? I'm going to honor God. You know, you can't just say, I'm just going to stop sinning you know, and continue not honoring him, because he's the one that turned you over to that. He's the one that turns the nation over.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to go back and find out what led us to this place. And it was dishonoring him. It was not honoring him, and it was not acknowledging him. And look how many places they're pulling the cross off. I wish somebody would rise up. I just saw this in my spirit, I think yesterday, the day before, because they want to remove the cross out of everywhere. I wish there was somebody that would head this up. We can't head it up. Somebody else has headed it up.
Yeah.
But every county, every province in America, everyone that exists in every state, that there would be somebody that would rise up and run this campaign. This is the campaign to get a specific large cross that's on a piece of purchased private property that cannot be zoned out, so that literally if somebody wanted to go back and see the heritage of America, they can go to every single county in the United States and go from cross to cross to cross. Listen, if right now, you know, you can get together in your community and y'all can buy a piece of property, you can check all the ordinances to make sure they are, and get permission from your local ordinance to make sure everything is written down, and then put your cross on your property. And it needs to be, if you're doing this, let me tell you, it needs to be a significant cross that's just in your face. It needs to be bold. You know, you can't miss it. Everybody knows there it is. I mean, not like something that's on some mountain, but just not some dinky, rinky, dink thing that it can be easily, you know, and nobody can cover it up. And, you know, is it going to be, you know, vandalized or things going to happen to it? Probably. But, hey, that just brings in good press. But, you know, we can do that right now in America. And if you're in a different country, you wouldn't be able to do that. This is public land. They're telling you to take the cross off. And so that's the first phase of judgment, you know, that God turns a people over to sexual immorality because we fail to acknowledge and honor him.
Right.
And so we have to understand then in that three progressions, and you can get this in detail from, you know, VFNTV.com, that it's just three simple progressions. Let me pull this up right here so I can be reading it with you. And to do what ought not to be done. And then the next phase of judgment is they exchange the truth for a lie. They exchange the truth for a lie. Let me read it to you. This is 21, Romans 1:21. For although they knew God, this is the first phase. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. In other words, their thoughts. Remember, the whole world was destroyed outside of Noah because their minds were futile. Evil was in their mind 24/7. He says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of God, the glory of the immortal God, for images. Think about that. Images and made to look like mortal man and all the animals and stuff. And so it's just the first exchange comes from failing to acknowledge God, to glorify God, to think on God, you know, think on these things. And then he says, therefore, God gave them over to sinful desires of their hearts, to sexual impurity, for the degrading of their bodies one with another. They exchanged, and this is the next one, they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worship and serve created things rather than the creator. Think about it.
Mm.
And so, I mean, how many people, you know, you say, I'm going to take your Bible. They go, well, I'll get another one. But you say, I'm going to take your car. And like, oh my goodness. You know, somebody comes over and says, you know, some man that you never met before, comes up to you and says, hey, can I take your car tonight? And you go,
no.
Right. But some guy comes up to you and says, hey, can I take your daughter out tonight?
No.
Well, so many people just, you know, let their daughter or their son or whatever, that type of thing, you know, happen. It's like, well, the things of God, it says, hey, you want to take your Bible, and some people just give it up.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
When it comes to your car or things or stuff or money, and it's like the word is more precious than money.
Right.
And so we got to begin to value again the word of God. Mm. It's got to be valuable. I've seen people who, you know, that say they love the Lord, but they treat the Bible like just a placeholder in their house. You know, they just kind of just, you know, push it around, throw it places and all this kind of stuff. It's like, is it not holy to you? Is it, how do you treat that? You know, the word of God in your heart. And he said, because of this, God gave them over to shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged the natural relationships for unnatural ones. In the same way, the men also abandoned natural relationships with women and were inflamed in their lust one for another. Men committed indecent acts with one another and received in themselves the due penalty for their perversion. And so it was a progression. It's a second progression that happens there. And how did we get this day to the Pentagon? We got this day because the church, we got to get back to acknowledging God. We have set aside the commands of God for man's traditions. You know, we cannot yell at our harvest. We don't need to criticize our harvest. We got to realize we planted that seed.
Mm-hmm.
We need to love them back in the kingdom, and we need to love God. We need to love God, love others, and lead others to the same. That we should not be okay with living in men's traditions that have set aside the simplicity of what God says. For example, marriage.
Mm.
You know, how is marriage supposed to be? Well, it's all upside down in America.
Right.
It's way upside down in America, mm-hmm. outside the ways of God.
Right.
I'm talking about in the church. Now, I'm talking about the world. That the way that we say marriage should be, I mean, people were talking about, because they were saying in that Pentagon interview, was that the lady was going, well, I just want to introduce you to my wife. And he was saying, this is my husband that's here. And but to think about this, what does marriage look like in the church?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he says it's totally upside down in so many instances. You know, you have, you know, children ruling the parents, wives ruling the husbands. Husbands are totally, you know, and seduced by all these different things. And you're saying, well, at least we're married. At least I have somebody of the opposite sex. I'm like,
yeah, right.
Really? You really think that's the answer? I mean, come on. I mean, that you feel like you're righteous because you found somebody of the opposite gender, and but you don't live in the ways of God and mm-hmm. what that produces.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody's accountable for their own life, and you all make decisions, but what kind of chance does someone have if it's been lived all upside down? And for quite some time right now, it's been happening probably, it's been a progression. It's been totally a progression, but in regards to the church itself, not America, and the church itself, I mean, probably around the 50s, the sexual revolution of the 60s, you know, and where, you know, the foundation, the creation of the birth control pill and all these mm-hmm. different things that started happening. And, you know,
they took prayer out of school.
They took prayer out of school. As a matter of fact, it's like the 50-year anniversary, I think, for prayer being out of school. And all these things have happened, and we ended up being here.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look back over history, I mean, it's just the enemy's always working to confuse the things of God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we have to just stay on top of it in our generation. But the last part of this turning over, he says, of course, what we're seeing today in the Pentagon and what's taking place in the military, for example, and it's taking place, you know, all around the world, is for the church itself, what's happening with us? Because the world's going to go the way of the world. I mean, it's going to happen, you know, the 10 heads are going to rise up in Europe, and, you know, the nations are going to rise against Israel, and, you know, prophecy is going to be fulfilled. I mean, at some point, America is going to be humbled to the point where it won't be the strongest nation so that the prophecy can be fulfilled. That's just mm-hmm. the real thing. I mean, the banks are going to tumble. You know, the economy is going to crash at some point. You know, I don't know, it could be 100 years or it could be tomorrow. I mean, at some point, the economy has to shift to Europe. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to happen. Don't sit here. You can think away prophecy or pray away prophecy. You know, come quickly, Lord.
Yeah.
But how do we, as the church, how do we respond to that? And the thing is that we can't be living in adultery and criticizing somebody else that's living in homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That is so crazy.
That's right. Hypocrite, right?
That's what he calls it. It's a hypocrite. We can't be, you know, criticizing, you know, I call it the okra principle, that, you know, it's something you personally don't like, but it's not the fact that somebody is responding because they are honoring God. They just don't like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's not holy. That's just preference.
Right.
You know, holiness is that even when you even may be tempted in that area to commit adultery, or you may be tempted in that area to live a different lifestyle, you say, I will not do it because I love God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that would be holiness, you know, in regards to that. And you're doing that to honor God.
Right.
And so, and he even says, the word of God, he tells us, he says, such were some of you. And so that's us, that's the church, you know, and some of their testimonies were when they were talking in the Pentagon, you know, they said that, that we could not tell the truth because the system wouldn't let us. The system wouldn't let us talk. If we told the truth, one guy's testimony was, you know, he's in the Marines. He's, I think, a captain in the Marines. And he said, it was really, he asked him, what is the one thing that stood out? And this is in the Pentagon. And he said, well, it is 1 year ago, almost 1 year ago, and he named a date. He said, if I would have actually told somebody about my life, I would have been kicked out of the military. But 1 year later, I'm being invited by the president to come into the White House to be able to have champagne with him. And it has the seal, the presidential seal on that. Well, it's not something that didn't just get revealed. You know what I'm saying? It's something that didn't just get revealed. What he's saying was, I couldn't tell you what my life was like. I couldn't tell you what I was going through. I couldn't tell you how I felt. And that's the way the church is today. Mm-hmm. The church is today that they don't let, you're going to have to be open enough to talk to people and find out, you know, where are you coming from? You can't just shut people down. And God's grace is sufficient in regards to he can forgive all sins and he can restore us all. You know, which sin sends you to hell, this one or that one, right?
Right. Exactly.
And it's so funny. I mean, people are going to end up in hell and they're going to look over there and they're going to say, what the hell are you doing? Because they sat here and they thought, you know, they never understood that they were talking preference and not God. That if you commit one sin, you've committed them all. The thing about it is, what is our response? I mean, what's happening? How did we get to this point? Because the point now is not that something is happening that's never happened before. It's that the fact that now we're accepting as normal or normal everyday life with nothing's wrong with it. And that means we're being turned over to it. The answer is not changing the world. The answer is the church. If my people, he says, when I send a plague, when I do these things, when I turn you over, mm-hmm. right? We missed that part about the scriptures, right?
Right.
He says, you know, when I devise a storm against you, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, hey, listen, we've got to quit, you know, eating of the world. We've got to be able to walk holy before the Lord. Without holiness, no man would see God. You know, and you got to, if you haven't heard the second part of the first hour today about, you know, getting hungry for God, you've got to get hungry for him. And I talked to you about that. And, you know, Pat and I talked to you about getting hungry for God. But the answer is not for us to jump up right now and start pointing our finger at anybody. If anything, we got to apologize because that is the harvest of the church right now, because the church has just been in sin. The church has just accepted worldly practices. The church is, you know, it may not be that sin, but the church has been in it. They're watching it in the movies. They're watching it on their programs. And Jesus said this. He said this. He said, if you've done it in your heart, now this is Jesus. This is not your doctrine from your organization. Forget about that for a moment. Jesus said, if you've done it in your heart, you've done it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's what they're talking. He was talking about in Romans chapter 1 about images. So you can actually imagine doing the sin, and that's equivalent to doing the sin.
Yeah.
Did he say that?
He sure said. He said it.
So it's not for us to point our finger. It's to ask the question, why? How did we get here? You know, have we let go of righteousness, that a righteous walk in God? Have we quit being living a life seeking to live a holy life in God? Have we settled down with those who refuse to settle down with God? You know, have we settled down and just said, you know what, I'm not going to go after God. There's enough religious people around me that says I'm all right. You know, and I'm really concerned about that, because one of the biggest doctrines that are taught is a doctrine that says it doesn't matter how you are, as long as at one point in your life you did something.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so we'll talk more about that. Not now. We're going to talk about it now. But that just gives people permission to sin, because mm-hmm. there is no consequence for it. And that's one specific thing he talks about, you know, getting permission to sin. So here we are, you know, and at times the military has been used to bring in new ways of thinking for America, for example, with race relations, that when there were so many prejudiced people in America that were prejudiced against the African-American, that they integrated first the military to be able to begin to help people see that it's just normal and nothing wrong with it. And it integrated the schools. And so what they were doing was, because the citizens of mostly the South didn't want to integrate. And so the government used their power to begin to integrate, to do what they wouldn't do. Well, that's good. That was good. And so, you know, it began, so you fight side by side with your soldier, fellow soldier, and you start finding out, he's just like me, she's just like me, and there's nothing, and you break all those mindsets. But when it comes to, there's no comparison to these two things, but they're comparing these two things, and they're totally different. They're not like that, but they're comparing, you know, gay rights and rights of lesbians and all that they're equating that to civil rights. And that is not an ethnicity. That's not the color of your skin. You know, it is, it is your choice, you know, that you're making in your life. And it's, you can make the choice that you make, but they're now, you look at using the military, they're going to do the very same thing, but taking something that we would consider, you know, not good towards God, because there was people, you can understand, there was people in the church that day. I mean, the Baptist church split over slavery, the Methodist church split over slavery, the Presbyterian church split over slavery. The history of America is not pretty. The history of the church is not pretty. But slavery was, you know, in the days of Jesus. And he says, you know, get your freedom if you can get your freedom. But this is a particular total different issue in regards to this, that we shouldn't split over this particular one. This one, we should stay united. Church should not have split over. It's just crazy. The more I study history, Pat, I'm just blown away. But that's called being naive.
Right.
I mean, people really thought that they were superior because of the pigment of their skin.
Mm-hmm.
The pigment of the skin. We're going to be talking about in the second part of this program today that, you know, it wasn't until 1978 that the Mormon Church even accept African Americans or Black Americans. It wasn't just Africa, all over the world, people of color into the Mormon Church.
Right.
You know, it's like 1978. Are you serious? For real?
Right.
But it wasn't, you know, isn't really the church. And we're going to talk more about that. Mm-hmm. But it's just no comparison what's taking place. But they're going to use the military now to integrate something that is not right.
Mm-hmm.
The way that they did something that was right,
mm-hmm.
you know, in regards to race relations. And so they're going to begin to try to integrate it and be a representative. And the words they use is be a bridge for society so that they can get past this and it'll be normal. And so we have to prepare ourselves and realize, you know, what side, you know, what are we going to do? We're going to walk with God or not. And the problem, we can't solve the problem by trying to change, you know, the Pentagon. You know, we first have to change ourselves. We have to ask God to begin to transform us. And it's amazing the division and the strife, you know. And, you know, I've talked with ministers, you know, who you're talking with them and they're hearing from God. He's hearing from God. But then he comes back to me a total different man because he talked to his wife after I talked to him. And she totally turned that man in a whole different direction.
Wow.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like, who's leading this thing? What's going on?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is that right? You know, is these things right? And we got to begin to talk about these things. I know I'm all over the map, but I just want to say that this is what it's come to. This is where we're at. And how do we get here? You got to get, you know, is America under God's judgment? Listen, you know, if you're struggling, if that's your area, I want to tell you that God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. And what you're struggling with is no different than any other particular sexual sin outside of that. That we have to turn to God to get purified in that area and ask God to forgive us and cleanse us and empower us to walk this life out. And yet there's more things than you can imagine in society right now that are trying to tempt us to go back into a way that God said not, you know, he didn't want us to be there. And so we need each other. We need to be rightly related with people who love God, who abide with God, and who want to follow him. And oh my goodness, it is just all over the map. We're going to probably make that available on the VFN TV blog. This is a sign to us to know that we're in the second, if not the third phase of judgment as a nation. And just like Steve Hill and Peter Wagner talked about, you know, there's about to be a shift take place. If we don't wake up, and the answer is not pointing our finger and say, you, the answer is to wake up and say, me, for I have sinned, for I've fallen short. Lord, if you would forgive me and restore to me the original hunger, the first love that you've given, and begin to just, you know, go after God. And in that progression, if God's merciful towards us in that, he may let us keep our nation and things may turn back. But the big question we're going to talk about in the next half hour, in just a moment, is just a few moments, is a Mormon president the answer? Mm-hmm. I mean, is think about it. Because if it's not, if Mormonism is not of God, then it's just about to go off the deep end. What do you think?
Yeah.
But we'll find out in the second hour. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, it's exciting, you know, Greg. You know, when I first gave my life to the Lord, I was so pumped about wanting to know more about Him and giving my life to Him. So I remember I just graduated a 4-year university.
4 years.
4 years. Spent all this money in student loans.
Oh, yeah.
And I got my first real professional job, you know.
Wow.
And
what was your degree in? What was your degree in?
Criminal justice.
Criminal justice. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is that funny?
Well, you know, coming from 10 years of law enforcement just makes me think about it.
Well, you know, so I just get my real professional job. I'm working for the Department of Juvenile Justice. And I hadn't even been there 6 months, but God is just doing such an amazing work in my life. And I'm willing to just leave my job, and I wind up going to a Bible college, go back to school.
Yeah.
And so
after 4 years of getting a degree, you're going to go back to school.
Right.
Wow.
And so I wanted to prepare myself, you know, and I thought, I didn't even think that God could use me. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to be a Christian for a long time. I just want to, you know, know more about God, you know.
Totally know what you're talking about.
Yeah. So I didn't even think, you know, I was going to be used or do anything for Him. And so I said, you know, this is a good idea. This is a good idea. So I go to school and I get all this education, and I'm hearing every week it appeared, you know, we're going to go to China, and we're going to go to India, and we're going to take Africa. And I'm thinking, who's going to take me?
Because as a believer, you have so many personal struggles, and you want to be able to find out how to get past that. You know, how do I help me from me, right?
You tell me about it, mm-hmm. Right. So, you know, what was encouraging is to now to finish that and to be graduated. You know, it's so amazing what VFN University is all about,
mm-hmm.
and how we can equip people that are hungry, believers that want to do something for God and not get lost in theological references. But you can grow as a person. You
4-inch books.
Say it again.
4-inch books. You know what I'm saying?
Goodness, trying to study Hebrew and you can't get out of Genesis. You know what I mean? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Are you really talking about Ezekiel right now? You know what I mean? They're like, you know, I love when Mark Twain
says, can you help me turn my head right now?
Exactly.
As I turn the pages.
I thought Mark Twain said, I hope I'm saying it correctly, but it says, not the scriptures that I don't understand that give me the biggest problems, it's the scriptures I do understand, you know? And
yeah.
It's like, let's start individually here. Let's work on our own growth and walk with the Lord. And so VFNU is a fresh perspective where a student is not, it's not about what you can do for God. It's about what God can do through you.
Right.
Oh, and through a personal abiding relationship. So, you know, if you're out there and you're saying, you know, I've got all this education and I know all this stuff, but it's just not connecting. I need more myself. I'll tell you, you know, VFNU is for you. You can reach us at vfnuniversity.org and reach out and explore the opportunities because you're more important to the Lord than what you can do for Him. But He does want to use you.
Dude, that's what's so important, and the fact is that we first have to minister from the overflow of our personal relationship with Him. So we start learning all this knowledge without knowing how much He loves us and that we're in His family and we're working from a place of success, not for success.
Absolutely.
It's just so much safer, you know.
Sure. And out of relationship is a whole lot better than out of your head knowledge, you know what I mean?
Oh, I know it. Totally know it. Well, more at vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org. You know, when you think about, you know, John 15, where Jesus says, He tells us, you know, right before He's going to go to be with the Father, He says, all these things basically that I've asked of you, you know, it's impossible to do, to bear fruit. But it can be done. It's possible to do on your own, but you can do it through the empowerment of Jesus Christ and abiding with Him. And He said, my Father's the gardener. And He is the vine and we're the branches. I mean, we all have to work together in this. And, you know, abiding is so important, but it's so easy. So many people have made it so religious that they sing it is, you know, it seems totally impossible. That it's not impossible. That's religion telling you it's impossible. As a matter of fact, I want Jamie to be able to tell you. Jamie is 6 years old and he abides with the Lord. Just hear it in Jamie's own word. This is what your life should be like when you abide.
My name is Jamian, and I'm from
and I'm from Texas, and I really wish that everyone could figure out the Holy Spirit of God, and if we could follow Him, we could probably be good, and God will probably make us gooder. And I think that what will we do if we could figure out if God can give us power, like following Him? If we could do that, maybe we can finally figure out the Holy Spirit. And if we have a Bible and we're reading it, you might want to follow it, because it gives you more stuff to follow the Lord. And the Bible, it's what God is wanting you to do. And I think if you follow it, then you would be one of the angels from God.
Jamie is 6 years old. He's abiding with God in all we did, right, Pat?
Mm-hmm.
What did you ask Jubian?
All I asked him, what is your name?
What is your name? What you heard was a young man who's 6 years old who is abiding with the Lord. Listen, it's very simple. Religion's made it difficult. I mean, everybody wants to. You need a simple plan. A simple plan that even a six-year-old can follow. Listen, God loves you, wants to spend time with you. It's not impossible what he's asked you to do, but it's impossible to do it on your own. You can do it through an abiding relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to find out more? Go to iabide.org. We have a plan waiting for you, a simple plan waiting for you. It's at iabide.org. Request your plan there, and it'll come to you immediately. You're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and with me in the studio is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Well, we were just, it got really deep, you know, it's deep. You know, we got to talk about these things, and we got to talk about it, you know, what is God's perspective of them. That's when we also have BFN TV, you know, where you can go and get an in-depth, you know, look at God's word and what's happening in the evidence, and notice that God loves people. He loves mankind. He would that no man would perish outside of Him. And so only religion says you need to be like me. But a relationship with God says, I can make you like my son if you accept him as your Lord. I mean, in the end times, at the throne of God, he's going to be looking at us, really ask us two things. One is, did you love? And the other is, how much of my son do you look like?
Mm.
Think about it.
Right.
And so how much, and so think about it. He said, be transformed in his image. So I want to encourage you, you know, we're going to make available on the blog about that. Also the links so you can hear those prophetic teachings. Is America Under Judgment. You also can get them at VFNTV.com. Well, this last half hour, we want to talk about something else pretty heavy, but we got to talk about it. You know what I'm saying? You got to talk. Why do you always talk about the power bill? It's because it comes every month, and if we don't do it, you don't have power. You know, if we don't talk about the truth of God, if you're a believer and you're walking with God, it doesn't really matter how bad it gets on the earth. You win. So don't, we're talking about, do we want to be faithful in our generation?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to, you know, if only 4% of the young people in the world today believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, come on, we're one pagan generation away from losing the church here on earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so we've got to really pay attention to that. Well, I want to talk about this last half hour is about, you know, we have a Mormon presidential candidate. His name is Mitt Romney. And And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of rumors and people talk about different things, but you know, people, if you ask them, why do you say that Mormons are right and why do you say Mormons are wrong? Most of them just say this. Well, I heard, you know, that's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
She's just to cast a judgment on somebody without even knowing. It's just like, I heard, you know, like three generations of a rumor that just passes along,
mm-hmm.
but you can actually find out, you know, you can study, you can find out. I mean, Mormonism is probably the easiest religion to find out because it began in America.
Right.
You know, if you want to find out about Mormonism, you can find out about it because its entire history. I mean, if there is an American religion, if there's an American religion, this may show you why you think that you look at Mormons, how American they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just so loyal and, you know, they're good Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And you might find out the reason why is because it was birthed in America.
Mm-hmm.
It happened in America prior to, you know, it taking place, you know, in Joseph Smith in Fayette, New York, when he was 14 years old on April the 6th of 1830, you know, a boy by the name of Joseph Smith, you know, he had two parents and his parents were divided, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his mother felt this way about things of God, and his dad felt this way about the things of God, which is pretty interesting. Yeah. A divided household produced this.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, arguments only destroy those who hear them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's wondering, because you have different churches around. You have the Methodists, the Baptists, you have the Catholics, you have the Presbyterian, different churches that are around, the Church of England. And so he's wondering, this is what he says. I'm just talking about what's said.
Mm-hmm.
This is a 14-year-old.
Right.
I don't know if you've talked to a 14-year-old lately. But this is how Mormonism began, right? And so right. Nothing against 14-year-olds.
I was 14 once.
Yeah, me too. That's what I'm talking about. And so he says he goes out and he's going to spend some time in prayer. He's going to ask God, you know, which church should I go to? You know, that was the question. You know, which church do I need to go to? Which one's right?
Mm-hmm.
And so Joseph Smith, the prophet, like you have Muhammad is the prophet of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Prophet means someone who hears from God and gives a directive towards God's people, and they follow what the prophet says because that was God telling that prophet. So mm-hmm. by following that prophet, you're following God.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You better hope they hear from God, right?
Exactly.
And so, you know, with that, and of course, Muhammad, you know, says that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
So to acknowledge Muhammad as the prophet is to not deny that Jesus never existed. They acknowledge that Jesus existed, but doesn't acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. Matter of fact, he even says he's got to come back and repent for calling himself the Son of God.
All right.
So which means there's true prophets
mm-hmm.
and there's false prophets.
Right.
And so Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormonism, says that the Son of God and God himself appeared to him in the light,
mm-hmm.
in the light. And it was just so bright. You know, he felt like the things were going to be set on fire, he says. And he told God, Jesus told him that all the churches were wrong. Every church was imposter. It was totally, the church had fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And you are going to be the one. You are going to be the one that's going to begin again. Right. You're going to bring everything back into. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to have an angel lay hands on you, and the priesthood is going to be placed on you,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to begin to bring the church back the way I wanted it to bring back. And so he's saying, I heard from God, and he's saying that every other church that's out there is apostate. Which, you know, you understand this, that Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. So the first thing that we find out is if Mormonism is correct, if Joseph Smith is correct, then that means Jesus wasn't correct, right?
Right.
Because that means the gates of hell prevailed against the church,
mm-hmm.
and Joseph was the, you know, Superman who came in mm-hmm. and rescued, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that first thing says that couldn't be right because the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it.
Right.
And of course, the church was not all apostate. You know, it wasn't in rebellion to God. And so then progresses where in Revelations he finds these golden tablets. You know, he gets led to this place that has golden tablets, and it has these hieroglyphics on the tablets, and he says that he's been given the translation of these and this Egyptian tablets and all, mm-hmm. and he just starts interpreting them. Remember the thing that I sent out to the leaders recently? It was a picture. And I sent it to all the leaders with Vine Fellowship Network, and I told them, I said, you know, tell me what you think this is.
Right.
And everybody had a different opinion. But you can look at something and begin to just, it's this, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's this. And then we found out it was a ruler and all that kind of stuff. And so he looked at these tablets, and he said, this is what it means. But this is before an Egyptian, you know, hieroglyphic interpreter was around, mm-hmm. you know. And so he just, and nobody was, who was going to be the one that told him that this was not right, you know, because they didn't read hieroglyphics. They didn't know what it meant. And mm-hmm. so he would see this bird over this Egyptian man. And, you know, he was saying that it was the Holy Spirit, and he drew the face on this headless person that was part of the hieroglyphic. I mean, he just told his own story. He made his own story,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of contradictions, you know, like the, you know, a lost tribe of Israel ended up in America, and like the Indians are descendants of the Jews, and it was just, you know, all this integration of the Old Testament. It had some of those things in there. It had some other plagiarisms from it was just a whole mixture of all these things. And mm-hmm. it's proven, you know, these things are proven out. But in the midst of all of that, which is something, is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that, you know, but the question is this, you know, who do you say he is? I mean, they even went to the point where once he started walking out this new thing, and this angel met him. I think this angel's name was like Mormoni or something like that, but that's where the Book of Mormon comes from.
Mm-hmm.
And so he interprets all these old ancient teachings from these golden tablets that he found, that he felt like he was led to. And the Book of Mormon comes. He publishes the Book of Mormon. He gets it registered and copyrighted, and he says that he's the author of it, you know, mm-hmm. which contradicts the fact, is God the author? I mean, nobody says I'm the author of the Bible, right?
Right.
Yeah, we say, you know, it's an inspired word of God. And then, you know, they begin to get persecuted where they're at. So they move, and they go to, I believe, Missouri. I'm kind of summarizing this, you know, and they end up in Missouri. And so in Jackson, Missouri, exactly, that from my understanding, they believe that that's where the Garden of Eden was. I'm not, you know, I'm just telling you what I've learned. And told you I was going to be reading and learning and studying and trying to figure out, you know, because we need to know this.
Mm-hmm.
And they believe, I think, that that's where the Lord's going to return. And that, and then it got so bad in Missouri that the governor said, you know, run these Mormons out of Missouri. That's what the governor did during that time.
Mm-hmm.
And he even gave an order that it was okay to execute a Mormon.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that wild? Can you believe that?
Wow.
I cannot believe that. But this is their history. This is what happened. And so when you hear somebody say that you know, people issued laws and supported harming them, they're not telling a story. It was true. That actually was being done in American history.
Mm.
Happened lots of times, a lot of different things. And so then they come back to a land called in Illinois. And Illinois heard what happened to Missouri. They were empathetic. You know, a lot of interesting things come out of Illinois, don't they?
Yeah.
And yeah. And so they came to a city, a town called Navo, Illinois, and they incorporated the town, and it basically became the Mormon city, of which Joseph Smith was the head of.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had their own, and it's like this just perfect looking city. I mean, everything's just like perfect. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's all perfect. And he was, one day when he was there, he got a revelation, and this is what happened. He got continual, these encounters that he would have. But the one biggest thing that the Mormons, you know, believe is, and you understand when you talk about Joseph Smith, you got to talk about Joseph Smith, because not talking about Joseph Smith with Mormonism is like not talking about Muhammad with Islam.
Mm-hmm.
There is no Islam without Muhammad,
because
he's the prophet of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And there is no Mormonism without Joseph Smith. You can't do away with Joseph. And then, you know, Brigham Young was the one that followed him, which we talk about Brigham Young University and mm-hmm. all that today. Well, this is their statement. This is what they believe. Man is as God once was, and God is what man will be. This is Brigham Young. Man is as God once was. In other words, God was a man. God was a human being. He was a human being. And while he was a human being, like we are, that he had a God, like he's our God.
Right.
But he did everything right to enter the celestial heaven, and he became a God. And now he's our God, but he had a God when he was a man like we are. And so Brigham Young, the follower of Joseph Smith, and we'll talk about what happened there, man is a God. Man is as God once was, and God is what man will be. And that's exactly what Satan said to Eve in the garden, wasn't it?
Right, yeah.
Taste of this tree, and you'll be like God.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting how that happens?
He hasn't changed much.
No, he's just kind of consistent, but it's just much neater. And so when you are a Mormon, you're working towards that. Let me quickly go back to Joseph for a quick. Joseph gets a revelation that he begins to he says that God is a polygamist. That God had multiple wives. God had multiple wives. And therefore, to be like God, because, right, we're going to be like him because he was like us now,
right,
then we need to have multiple wives to be a polygamist. And this is really hard for Brigham Young to swallow. Yeah, but eventually, you say, ask me to do anything, but not that. I'll give up my wealth. I'll give up everything. And he was watching a funeral go by at that time, and he said, he finally conceded. He said, okay, Joseph, I'm going to do this. But his statement was something like, but I wish I was dead today. But he bought into that, you know? And so, and he bought into it big time because, so Joseph gets this epiphany. We got, I know this is a lot. We may pick this up tomorrow. But Joseph gets this epiphany, another moment of this encounter. And he says that he thinks this is the very first prophet. This is the 14-year-old that's grown up now. They were murdered and slaughtered in Missouri, which is horrific what happened to them. They came to Illinois. Illinois was empathetic towards them. They took them in. They started a town. The town was called Navo, Illinois, N-A-V-O. And Joseph, of course, was the head of the city. You know, like Dahlia was the head of Zion City. You know, right. You can't say too much, things that have happened historically. And so he feels like he's supposed to run for president of the United States. So the very first prophet, I mean, this is interesting because today, after this 180 years, right, or whatever it is, 1830, 1930, whatever,
right,
that 167 years, that here we have Joseph is running for president. His lineage is a Mormon. He's running for president. His name's Mitt Romney. But he started to run for president, and of course the people Americans were just like, ah, nope, no way. And they arrest him for, a journalist starts writing, an ex-Mormon starts writing in a paper and talks about his multiple wives. And then people just get totally upset about it. But Joseph goes into the town and destroys the paper, the newspaper company, the press.
Right.
He burns the place down. He rips it apart. And at that time, and I wish we'd get back to this mindset, is that the First Amendment gives us the right to say whatever, to print whatever. And Americans took that to heart. You know, what are you doing stopping the press? The press, you know, is what keeps things right. And so they went to arrest Joseph because he stopped somebody who was speaking the truth. And they arrested him. And at that point, the mob came in once he was in the jail, and they came into the jail where he was, went upstairs and basically just threw him out the window. And so he was killed by a mob. And at that point, you know, Navo City was just in chaos because their prophet that was going to run for president, you know, is now dead. And they were all, you know, factions were coming up and who's going to do what. And then Brigham Young, which was his right-hand man, was a strong leader, and he began to say, well, you know, I guess I'm going to lead. But he openly said, I've never heard from God. I never heard like he heard before. But he just did what he thought was right. And the people began to come against the people, the Mormons there. And so they ran the Mormons off, and Brigham began a journey from Navo City, Illinois, to Utah, because at that time, Utah was Mexico. It was not yet in America.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Everybody says, well, they're talking about, you know, Mitt Romney's grandfather, you know, went to Mexico. Well, he actually went to Utah, but Utah was not yet in America. Mm-hmm. And then it got annexed in. And so he takes, and they pay a huge toll price to be able to get there. So when you hear about Mormons coming from Utah, mm-hmm. I mean, that's how it all progressed. It was birth, you know, from Fayette, New York, and from a 14-year-old that said he heard from God, that, you know, went all, and polygamy was a big thing with them, because Brigham Young, who didn't want to do it, decided to do it. He said it is it. And for 47 years, the Congress would not give statehood to Utah, because Brigham Young was the governor of Utah and he refused to give up polygamy. So for 47 years, Utah was not even admitted as a state.
Oh, wow.
You know, because of, we're learning, you know, the original intent. How do we get here, right?
Yeah,
it's important.
Right.
And, you know, we're obviously going to have to pick this up, you know, tomorrow and the next part of the hour. You got to hear this. This is important, because the question is this of God?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is this of God? And, you know, he says in his word, you know, in Paul talks about, he's writing to the church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 11. He says that, I think it's chapter 11, verse 4, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus I preached. So there could be different Jesuses preached. And he says, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. And so we're going to talk about this. We can't just because somebody says Jesus does not mean that it's the same Jesus. We have to check ourselves and find out, you know, first of all, check ourselves if we're in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
But understand that we're going to talk about in the next part of this conversation is we're going to get more in depth in there. But that, you know, baptism of the death of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where they believe that you can be baptized, which is not biblical, you know, that you can be sealed to your wife forever in eternity, and she will rule with you as God in your next life, because you're going to become like God, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, but when Jesus said, he said, you know, it's not going to be like that. You don't understand. And we're going to talk about that in the next part. He says that you're not going to be married or be given in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that just totally contradicts the words of Jesus. When you say, you know, this marriage is going to be forever and this family is going to be forever.
Mm-hmm.
And they're baptizing. They're doing these different things. And it's just all these rituals and things that are taking place. And, you know, and as we talked before, and we're going to talk about, you know, we got to shake off religion, because men naturally, we want to worship. There's something inside of us that God's designed to worship. And if we're not careful, we'll worship anything. And or our worship can be distracted. So we shouldn't necessarily, you know, put a man down because he is worshiping. We just got to redirect and say, listen, this is the true gospel.
Mm-hmm.
This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we're going to talk about this. This is very important, because Joseph Smith wanted to run for president,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then now Mitt Romney's running for president, which is not that far removed. It's a religion that was born here in America.
Right.
And, and that's why they're so loyal to America and the redemption of all American. It's like, it's starting to come to us, you know, what's taking place. And understand this, in 1978, and much of the church has been guilty, the body of Christ, the believers of Jesus Christ, he's the only way to God. The Father and the Holy Spirit are God.
Mm-hmm.
No other gods.
Right.
You know, that church,
mm-hmm.
that there's a lot of wrong things that have happened in the past as well. But in 1978, and you tell me how this presidential campaign is going to go, when President Obama stands up and says, well, your very religion says that I was Satan, that black man was a Satan prior to, and that's not true. And this thing is going to go in a way that I think that people are going to be really surprised. Because God loves all people. That was totally wrong with what the prophets of the Mormon people were saying. We're going to talk more about that in the next program tomorrow. God bless you. I know it's getting meaty, but we got to know the news behind the news and what to do with the news that we know. We're coming to the end of today's broadcast. Join us tomorrow. We'll continue this conversation about Mormonism. God bless.